Hello, doctors. I'm your host, Chip Fitchner, co-founder of Large Practice Sales, and you're listening to Practice Partnership, Monetizing Your Dental Practice. Thank you for joining us today, doctors. This is Chip Fitchner with Large Practice Sales, and today our topic is what we call the blacklist. There are over 1,000 invisible DSOs and DSOs operating in the U.S. today, and many of them are probably eagerly contacting you, wanting you to become their partner. Well, there's risk in that, because we consider over 900 of those 1,000 invisible DSOs operating in the U.S. today to be on what we call our blacklist. The blacklist is the groups that we will not allow to bid on our clients. And that list changes on a weekly basis, and it's determined by a lot of insider knowledge as to what's most important to a dentist, and we want our clients to take the least risk possible, because there is risk in every transaction, and if you choose to partner with a group or an invisible DSO that's on the blacklist, it could be a big mistake. So listen in, and we're going to talk about what causes an invisible DSO to end up on the blacklist. Because there are so many different invisible DSOs in the U.S. today, and they are all unique, and they are all funded a little bit differently and operated a little bit differently, it's critical that a doctor, when choosing an invisible DSO partner, understands exactly what they're getting, not only in that partnership, but in the structure of that partnership, what the future support resources might look like, and most importantly, what's the ultimate exit from the ownership that a doctor retains in an invisible DSO. And there are a lot of different factors that go into understanding that, and they change on a regular basis. Some groups are added to the blacklist every week, and other groups are removed from the blacklist every week. So it's a fairly intricate and insider knowledge-based thing that doctors really can't understand, because your specialty is smiles, not deals. And our specialty, fortunately, is invisible DSO partnerships. We don't know how to create great smiles. The only way to identify a blacklisted invisible DSO is to call us. We have multiple full-time people whose job is to make sure we understand the invisible DSOs that we will allow to bid on our clients. And when I say understand them, it's not just understand their capital structure, their access to credit and capital to grow, but also their operating statistics, their management, and the direction that the investors, who ultimately control all of the invisible DSOs, want to take their group. So there are some groups that were actively partnering with great practices last quarter, and today are not, because they've run out of money or run out of capital. And there are other groups that were actively partnering with LPS clients last quarter, that today are not partnering with anybody, because they're preparing for their next recapitalization, meaning their event where they monetize the invisible DSO for the benefit of all of their investors and their doctors. So in some cases, a group may be on the blacklist by their own determination, meaning we're not going to partner with practices right now because we're busily getting ready to put $1 billion into our doctors' and investors' pockets, and therefore we're not adding new practice partners at the moment. And in other cases, you have groups that are not actively seeking partnership because they can't, or because they're focused on integrating the partners that they had joined them in 2023. So there are a lot of different reasons that a group may or may not join the blacklist, and their ability to grow their practices organically and internally, and their success of having done that, is really an important factor in whether a practice should accept an offer from an invisible DSO or not. And so we spend a lot of our time, because we are the biggest in this industry, making sure that we only enable the right invisible DSOs to bid on our clients, because our goal is not just to achieve the highest initial value for a doctor, but also to partner them with an invisible DSO that will succeed and grow that retained ownership many times over the long term. The great majority of our clients have joined the right invisible DSOs that have not been blacklisted. And in some cases, you can end up on the blacklist for a good reason. The good reason, for example, today being we have dozens of clients that have joined a particular invisible DSO over the last 6 years. And that group is not actively adding new partners at the moment because they're about to recapitalize and return billions of dollars to their investors and their doctors. So they're on the blacklist for a good reason. There are other groups out there that have joined invisible DSOs that may have gone on the blacklist for reasons of management. There's one particular group with which we have partnered many practices over the last 7 years. And at the moment, they're on the blacklist only because they have an entirely new management team in the C-suite. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. But before we partner more of our clients with that particular group, and keep in mind our clients with that group have done exceptionally well. It has recapitalized. And some of them have made 2 and 3 times returns on their retained equity. But until we fully understand in that example what the new management's goal is and how they're going to operate, we don't want to risk our current clients joining that group until we have a better view of where they're going. And we'll learn that over the next couple of months. And blacklist doesn't necessarily mean bad. It only means that right now is not the time to enable them to bid on our clients. There are a lot of different factors you have to look at. The first thing we look at is who's the money behind the invisible DSO? What type of investor do they have? Do they have a well-capitalized investor that has done multiple healthcare consolidation investments successfully? Or even better, is it an investor who has built and monetized multiple invisible DSOs over the last decade or so? So the investor's capability, vision, and experience are the first thing we look at, because ultimately the investor who has put up the capital to build the invisible DSO is who's in control of it. It's not necessarily the management, because the investors can replace the management. It's the money. So the first thing we look at is the money. The next thing we look at is the management of the invisible DSO. What is their vision? What is their experience? What is their track record to date? And where are they going? And then one of the things you have to look at is, of course, the capital structure of the invisible DSO. Do they have the money, the credit, the resources to continue to grow? Because the way you create value in the equity of an invisible DSO is via growth. And that growth is not just through new partnerships, which is important, but it's organic growth. So there are a number of different elements that you have to look at, but the money, the management, the track record, and really one of the most key elements is looking at the practices that the invisible DSO has partnered with historically and recently. There's one invisible DSO that's on the blacklist today because they have acquired or partnered with two practices that we declined to represent for various reasons. So when we see an invisible DSO actually partnering with groups that or practices that we turn down as clients, that does not, in our view, speak particularly well for that invisible DSO. If that practice was not good enough to become an LPS client, I question the wisdom of the invisible DSO that partnered with those practices. We do not publish our blacklist. That is our proprietary insider knowledge and research. Our clients gain the benefit of that knowledge when they become our clients, and that we're not going to waste their time by having to talk to a group that's on the blacklist. But keep in mind, the blacklist changes. There are ways to get on and off the blacklist. I'll give you a good example. There is a group that we have partnered multiple practices with over the last 3 years. They functionally went on the blacklist in mid-fourth quarter because we did not see that they had a clear path to the capital to continue rapid growth. And fortunately, they came off the blacklist early in the first quarter of 24 because they obtained a new $400 million investment that would enable them to continue and accelerate their growth. So the knowledge of who is on and off the blacklist is something we keep very close to our vest, and it's something that changes literally weekly. Access to capital is important for a couple of reasons. Number one, does the invisible DSO have the resources to continue to invest in the practices that they have partnered with? And whether that's new technology or training or upgrades to the offices, it requires capital. Secondly, the invisible DSOs that are able to balance rapid growth with correct integration of their new practice partnerships, those are the ones which have proven to create the highest equity value over time, and growth requires capital. Before COVID, there were multiple invisible DSOs who were able to attract significant amounts of capital to utilize to partner with practices under a model that basically said, we're going to partner with you, therefore we're going to bulk up our overall revenues, but we are not going to provide you with any of the traditional support services to help your practice and reduce your administrative burdens. Their goal was merely to consolidate a group of practices' revenues without providing them with the services and support necessary to grow and run more efficient practices. And a number of those groups were created in, let's call it 2018, 2019, because the capital was available. And yet that strategy did not prove or did not end up well, in that several of them attempted to recapitalize during 22 and 23. And they were unable to do that because the investors felt that they had other opportunities to invest in invisible DSOs that had not only aggregated revenues, but because they had built the infrastructure, the management, and the leadership to improve the practices that they had partnered with, that those would be better investments in a recapitalization. So the revenue aggregated or invisible DSOs did not turn out well. They were not able to recapitalize, and therefore the upside that the doctors in those groups achieved in their equity so far has been zero. They haven't lost any money, but there's really been no upside. Fortunately, we've never partnered any of our clients with the revenue aggregators, and so our clients have not suffered from that mistake. But it's important to understand whether the invisible DSO partner that you're considering is a revenue aggregator or is a group that's going to provide actual service and support to their practices. It's like the revenue aggregator model, except they're not giving the doctors any money. And in many cases, the scammer invisible DSOs are being run by promoters where they're going to doctors and saying, hey, you're too small to join an invisible DSO at a high value, so why don't you pay us a monthly management fee and we'll help you grow, and then once you're big enough, we'll help you sell to an invisible DSO. And so functionally, it's a way of creating fees for the promoter without adding any real value to the doctor. And so we're seeing many, many doctors that have befallen the scammer invisible DSOs who have actually paid money to these promoters to ultimately, hopefully, sell them to an invisible DSO. And that is just not the right model. You know, our model is really simple. We're going to find you a great invisible DSO partner, and if we close a deal, then we get paid. If we are unable to find you a great invisible DSO partner at a value that you like, we get paid a total of nothing if we don't complete a transaction. And a doctor is never obligated to do anything with us. Some of these scammer invisible DSOs and promoters are locking the doctor in such that they can't do anything else. And that's a problem. There are some invisible DSOs where you've seen them have multiple senior leadership changes, whether it's the CFO, the chief operating officer, the chief executive officer. We're very interested in stability because the long-term success of that invisible DSO will be dictated not only by the investors, but also its management. And so when you see an invisible DSO that has had high turnover in its senior executive leader ranks, it raises a red flag. And so we want to make sure we understand why they've had that churn, because sometimes that churn can be good, but in many cases it's not. So you need to understand the history of the management of the invisible DSO you're going to partner with. As the interest rates have risen over the last 2 years, you've seen groups of invisible DSOs out there signing letters of intent with doctors to become their partners, and then were unable to complete those transactions in the agreed manner. Typically, from the time you sign a letter of intent to closing should be 60 to 90 days. And we've seen multiple transactions in 2023 and in early 24 where the doctors had signed letters of intent with particular invisible DSOs, which were on our blacklist. And the invisible DSO was unable to complete the transaction with the doctor because they didn't have the capital or the credit lines necessary to close the transaction. And so what they've done is they have stalled and dragged out the closings of these doctors for months and in some cases over a year. And that's not good for the doctor, and it's not indicative of an invisible DSO that you want to be partners with long term. Either because of by intent they've not been honest with their doctors, or they haven't had the capital to complete a transaction, which is a little scary. So those are the stallers. The back traders are a little bit different, and we see this in a lot of transactions where the doctor is dealing directly with the invisible DSO. They don't have a professional advisor like large practice sales. Where they have entered into letters of intent and then gone into the due diligence process, which includes what's called a quality of earnings test. And a quality of earnings test is a fancy way of saying an audit to confirm the numbers on the practice. And so when doctors are dealing directly with the invisible DSOs, there are some groups out there which have utilized that quality of earnings process or audit to come back to the doctor and say, well, when we made you the original offer and we agreed to the original terms, now that we've looked at the numbers in detail, we're going to have to reduce our offer because of X, Y, and Z. And we call those guys the back traders. And so if you get into a process and the invisible DSO that you have decided to partner with starts changing the terms or amount of your transaction, you've chosen the wrong invisible DSO, or you've probably not had professional representation. Because when we take a client, we do our own functional quality of earnings test so that we know exactly what the doctor's EBITDA or operating profit's going to look like. And therefore, we don't have the back trader problem. The invisible DSOs that we partner with know that when we bring them a client, the numbers are the numbers, and we will not tolerate any backtrading in our process. We started a transaction early in 2023 for a doctor with a relatively new group with which we had never partnered a client with. And this is a pretty big transaction. It's about a $15 million deal. And as we got closer to closing, the invisible DSO decided that they would not allow the add back of the legal and accounting expenses of our client, which is a very typical add back. And it was a big number. It was a $150,000 add back in the trailing 12 months. And this was a transaction that was being completed at 10 times EBITDA. So when you have an invisible DSO that says, no, we changed our mind, we're not going to allow you to add back the $150,000 of legal and accounting, you know, at 10 times EBITDA, that results in $1.5 million price reduction. And at that point, we said to the invisible DSO, you know, that's not what was in our pro formas. That was not in our EBITDA calculation. And it is industry standard to add that back. And therefore, if you're not going to add that back, this transaction is over. And so we ended that transaction. And fortunately, we partnered the doctor with another great invisible DSO at actually a slightly higher value because the market had increased in value as we went through that process. So yes, we have experienced back trading, but only once with an invisible DSO because they are no longer allowed to bid on our clients. Some of the great invisible DSOs have built themselves because they have satisfied doctor partners. And those satisfied doctor partners are incented and paid to refer their friends to deal directly with the invisible DSO. And when an invisible DSO is able to have negotiations with a doctor who is friends of one of their existing doctors, they tend to pay lower values because they already have the trust of their new prospective partner because he or she is friends with a doctor that has already joined that particular invisible DSO. And so the invisible DSO knows that they can pay a lower value for that doctor. And the doctor who brought his friend to the party gets paid a referral fee. And it's not insignificant. In some cases, it's six figures. And many times the referring doctors forget to tell their friends, oh, by the way, I'm getting paid $100,000 to entice you to come to this invisible DSO. And the challenge for that is any doctor, whether your best friend has joined a particular invisible DSO or not, deserves to go look at all of their options. You know, a typical LPS client is going to have at least six qualified bidders to choose from. And even if you want to join your buddy's invisible DSO, you should still go through the bidding process because you're going to achieve a higher value. It's an interesting game, and many of the successful invisible DSOs do that. And what I always tell the doctors is you owe it to yourself to look at all of your options. And even if you want to end up with the partnership that your buddy is with, you're going to end up with multiple millions of dollars more in your pocket if you do it correctly, which is have a bidding contest. My job is to try and help doctors understand what an invisible DSO partnership is and help them understand how it may or may not be a fit for them. And really the number one thing that a dentist needs to understand whether an invisible DSO partnership is right for them or not is what's the value of my practice? And LPS is in the business of helping doctors understand the potential value of their practice. And so we go through well over 1,000 sets of practice financial statements each year to determine the value of that practice. So any doctor can give us a call, and if they qualify from a size standpoint, meaning they're over $1.5 million in collections, then we're going to perform a no obligation, no cost valuation so that we can educate the doctor on what the potential value of their practice is in an invisible DSO partnership, because that number is critical. You may say, you know, if my practice was worth $5 million, I'd be very interested in partnership. And if it's only worth $2 million, I'm not. Well, until you understand what the value of your practice is, you don't have the data to decide whether IDSO partnership is right or not right for you. And so we perform that function for any qualified dentist, again, at no cost, no obligation, with our theory being that ultimately, if you have a big enough practice, you're going to join an invisible DSO because it is your only market value monetization option, because you're ultimately going to retire. And an invisible DSO partnership is typically going to achieve double the value that a practice would get in a doctor-to-doctor transaction. And frankly, today, if you have a larger practice, selling your practice to another doctor is not possible. High interest rates and banking restrictions are reducing the number of doctor-to-doctor transactions. Doctors really deserve to have specialist professional representation. As the financial markets continue to churn, doctors really need to fully understand which are the good invisible DSOs and which are the not so good invisible DSOs. And the only way that a doctor can do that is by engaging someone who knows the answer to that question. And frankly, because large practice sales is the largest advisor to dentists of all specialties in the U.S., we have a very educated and detailed knowledge of all of the qualified invisible DSOs out there. And in addition, we know who are the unqualified ones. And frankly, doctors aren't educated nor trained to understand the difference between the good, the bad, and the ugly. So it's important for doctors that this is your life's work. It will pay for you to retain a specialist to help you make the right choice. One of the unique features of large practice sales is that we are not paid by the invisible DSOs. Many of the blacklisted DSOs will pay advisors to guide their clients to blacklisted invisible DSOs. And the advisors typically forget to tell the doctor that they're also getting paid by the buyer. So in that case, most of the little advisors have an extreme conflict of interest, and therefore, since they're getting paid by the buyers, they're not as concerned about making sure that you end up with the right partner. Many of the blacklisted invisible DSOs are paying our competitors to guide their unsuspecting doctors into invisible DSOs that may end up not being successful. So the fact that we are only paid by our clients, and therefore our interest is only in the success, both short and long term, of our clients, makes a big difference in who's on the blacklist and who's not. Doctors, thank you for joining us today. The blacklist is an interesting topic and something that every doctor should understand, because as you look to monetize your life's work through an invisible DSO partnership, it's important that you make the right choice. Not only the right choice in invisible DSO partnership, but if you do decide to use an advisor, which I highly recommend, is use one that's only paid by you. Please be sure and tune in for our next episode, where we talk about why so many doctors in their 30s and 40s are joining invisible DSOs today. Tune in for our next episode, and thank you for listening today.